Even though we've got the rain, it's a day that we can celebrate the resurrection of your son. And I just am so grateful that Jesus did rise from the dead and proved that he was who he said he was. And so, Father, help this to really be a day of celebration, a day when we can know for certain that you have made that way to yourself, that the sin that we were born into has been taken care of in Jesus, if we will but ask for forgiveness and repent. And so, Father, may everything that happens here today be honoring and glorifying to you. Thank you for so many people that have come together to make today happen, just with the work day yesterday and the stuff going on today. Just the servants who have stepped up to help. And would you bless them and bless our time here together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I came across this this week, and it seems so very fitting. This is from Steve Winger, was finishing his college test, and he had this final test in logic. Don't know if any of you have ever taken a college class in logic. I have a feeling it's probably not as logical as it seems like it should be. But anyway, so they had this test. It says, to help on our test, the professor told us we could bring as much information to the exam as we could fit on a piece of notebook paper. Most students crammed as many facts as they possibly could on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. But one student walked into class, put the piece of notebook paper on the floor, and had an advanced logic student stand on the paper. The advanced logic student told him everything he needed to know, and he was the only student to get an A. Logical. And there will be one day when we have a final exam, and we stand before God, and Jesus will be standing on the sheet of paper. Amen. And he will say, it's been taken care of. It's been paid for. So as we celebrate Easter this morning, really thinking through this week, you know, where did God really want the message to go? And I don't know what's different about this Easter, but there's just been, I don't know, more emotion for me this Easter. And maybe it's because of what's going on in our country, what's going on in our world. We're getting closer and closer to the end. And I think it just becomes more important for us to just really stand firmly on who Jesus is. So in line with some great people of the Bible, I thought I would go back a ways. A lot of times when you see Paul and some of the guys doing sermons, they go clear back. I'm not going to go clear back. But where I'm going to go back to is actually when Jesus was born. So Jesus being born, and we celebrate that at Christmas time. Huge celebration. Jesus, who was called Emmanuel, or God with us. And he came as a little baby to this earth for one sole purpose. To seek and save the lost. To make a way for sinners back to God. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of God. And so Jesus came to do that. And how he was going to do that is he literally was going to die for us. He was going to be sacrificed on the cross. So I'm going to look at this a little more detail and what kind of went on that week. And most of us are probably pretty familiar with it. But if you have your Bible with you, open up to John chapter 19. And this is Jesus before Pilate. And Jesus comes before Pilate because the religious leaders are the ones that want to get rid of him. And last week, I talked a little bit about Palm Sunday where Jesus came into Jerusalem and the celebration that was going on and the people waving the palm branches and laying out their coats on the ground. And Jesus, the Messiah, was coming. But it wasn't all that many days later when Friday came and they were hollering for him to be crucified. Because he didn't meet their expectations. So Jesus is before Pilate because the religious leaders, they don't have the right under Roman law to execute him. So he comes before Pilate, and Pilate starts questioning him. And Pilate's really struggling with this because Pilate doesn't believe he's guilty. He's trying to figure out some way to release him, but the people keep hollering. And so one of the things he does is he has him scourged. And he's thinking that maybe if I do this, then they'll say, okay, that's good enough. That's good enough. And I don't know how much you really know about Roman scourging, but it's pretty brutal. You know, they tie you up. They usually have two guys, one on this side and one on this side. And they have a whip that has these multiple thongs on it. And embedded in it is like pieces of metal and bone and that kind of a thing. And they stand one on each side and start beating him. 39 lashes. And normally, people don't survive. I mean, it literally is ripping open his flesh. It's revealing his organs even. It's very brutal. He then is even ridiculed further when the guards are slapping him and spitting on him. He's suffering. He's taking our place so that we don't have to go through that. He's paying the penalty. Some people look at Jesus and think of this meek, mild-mannered man. Yet as a man, he was a man. You think of it, that he was able to physically go through this. He had grown up probably being a carpenter. He was very physical. And yet he was humble. He loved people. In him, he harmonized grace and truth. He loved those who disagreed with him and were unlike him, and yet he still loved them. And I think that irritated the religious leaders more than anything else, is that he came to seek those who were sick. He came to seek the sinners. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." That's what we deserve as human beings, but yet God made this way for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17, says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come." So we who are sinners, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become new. And all that old junk in our past, God forgets about it. Now, it may still affect us, but we need to be careful to remember that we are new, that those things do not have to rule us anymore. Verse 18 says, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, not counting our sins against us. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Verse 21 says, "He, God, made him who knew no sin, Jesus, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God." There is this picture. So you can go to the next one. Keep going. So this is the temple. So on that side is, you know, the elaborate temple that was built, the place for God. And the piece on this side is what I really want you to focus on is there's that little piece kind of up on the upper part in the middle says Holy of Holies. And that's where the ark had been kept. Now, of course, the ark was not there in Jesus' time. It had been lost. But that still is the place where the priests would go in once a year for the atonement for the people. And in front of that hung what they called the veil or a curtain. It was huge and possibly 4 inches thick. It was the barrier between us and God. We were not allowed in there unless, and if we went in there, we would die. The priest was able to go in once a year because of the blood of the sacrifices. It talks about this separation that is between us and God. And it really started in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. And God said, from that point on, sin will be part of man's life. But yet he was going to make a way to take care of that. He was going to make a way. And that's why I called this morning Jesus the barrier breaker, because that's what he did. He broke down that barrier. Not only did he break it, but it says in Matthew 27, it says Jesus is hanging on the cross. Jesus cries out with a loud voice. This is Matthew 27, 50. And yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. At the point when Jesus died, this huge, thick curtain, literally, probably 30 feet high, was torn from the top to the bottom, because God is the one that tore it. He was the one that said, because of what Jesus did on the cross, I am getting rid of this barrier. You now, through the blood of Christ, have every right to come into the Holy of Holies, to come before me, a holy God. Because that's why God couldn't stand sin, because of his holiness, because he's God. And so he tore it to give us access. Hebrews 10, 19 through 20 says, therefore, brethren, since we have this confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. It's an amazing picture to think of that veil that hung there, this big, thick, heavy covering that protected us, really, protected us from death, because if we had any glimpse of God, we wouldn't survive. And yet he says, I'm going to take care of that through Jesus hanging on the cross, through Jesus' death, because God required a blood sacrifice. That's what he has taught us throughout the whole Old Testament. It's been this picture of the blood sacrifice that was going to have to happen. And Jesus was going to be that sacrifice. And he did it willingly. That's probably what amazes me more than anything, is Jesus, who was man and God at the same time. And he knew what was going to happen. He knew what was coming. And as he stood in the or prayed in the garden that night and said, Father, if there's any other possible way to do this, let that happen. In fact, it says he literally was sweating drops of blood. He was in such agony. Yet he goes on to say, if there's no other way, then your will be done. And I will do this. And he did it. And even hanging there on the cross, he looked at these people that were killing him, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, that's just, it's kind of mind-boggling to think that he was still showing grace, that he was still showing love, even though he was being brutally killed. Go ahead.
Let me tell you a story. You may not believe me. I barely believe it myself. But I can't dispute what my soul knows.
Peter! John!
It's all true.
Come see this!
Everything he said.
The tomb!
Every impossible detail.
It's empty!
It's all true. There may be days when we deny.
I don't know him.
When our faith loses its footing.
You have me confused. I don't know him.
And we stumble along our way.
I said I don't know him!
What has been found? What has been defeated? What has been forgiven? What was once dead has new life. What was once old has been made new. What was once finite has been made eternal. May we remember and follow the risen way.
Jesus was born. He lived on this earth. He eventually suffered and died on the cross for us. He was buried, and then on the third day, he rose again. Woo-hoo! And that's why we can celebrate. That's why we can know for certain that Jesus was who he said he was. That he came here to seek and save the lost. Let's pray. Father, as we celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday, the day that you showed the power in raising your Son from the dead, Father, may that impact us all year. Father, may we realize our desperate need for forgiveness, for a Savior, for a relationship with you, and that we can receive that forgiveness through your grace and your mercy. Because to reject your forgiveness shows that we are blind to our sin. And it also shows that we don't have a very high view of God. So So, Father, help us this day to come to that realization, maybe for the first time, that Jesus is who he said he was. Or maybe today we just need a reminder that Jesus is the Savior, that he was God come to earth to break down the barrier, to tear open the veil, to give us entrance into the Holy of Holies where we can have relationship with you. And that someday we'll be home with you in heaven if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, just a few things here that I need to go over.